Church, that brings us all the way up to our fifth objective, the Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers. The subtitle for tonight's message is this: we need power. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We need power. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. And this is perhaps the most important aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. He empowers us. To empower means to give power. To give power. To empower means to equip or supply with ability. To equip or supply with ability. To empower means to enable. To enable. So empower, it means to give power. It means to equip or supply with ability. It means to enable. Church, the Holy Spirit gives us power. He equips us with everything we need to live as we ought. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to be like Jesus. So if you remember when we first introduced this series, the first thing I taught us is that because we have the Holy Spirit, we are without excuse. And we are without excuse because he gives us the ability to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to submit to and obey God's will. Through the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to do everything that he says. We are enabled to carry out God's blueprint for success for our church. He gives us the power to move. He gives us the power to build. And he will give us the power to do what's necessary to save our house. But church, without his power, all we can do is fail. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, all we can do is fail. As much as we might love the Lord, as much as we might desire to do right and to please him, if we don't have his power, we are certain to fail. See, if the Holy Spirit did not enable us to think right, we would not think right. If the Holy Spirit did not enable us to act right, we would not act right. If the Holy Spirit did not enable us to do right, we would not do right. We need power. And we have to understand this as Christians, especially in the times that we live in. We must understand that there is nothing about this Christian life that works through self-reliance. Nothing about this Christian life works through self-reliance. There is no success in our Christian walk in self-reliance. No matter how long we've been saved, no matter how much we want to do for the Lord, if we rely on ourselves, we are going to fail. See, we have to understand we were saved by grace, but we are enabled by power. We were saved by grace, but we are enabled by power. See, the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. In other words, even our saving faith is a gift from God. Good works did not save us and cannot save us. Being nice and being good to other people and being kind to other people did not save us and does not save us. Giving off good vibes in this life did not save us, does not save us. We did not and cannot save ourselves. We were saved because God loved us. Amen. And he loved us in a way that we did not deserve.
Amen.
And out of the love that he had for us, he sent his son to die for us. Amen. And then after Jesus died for us, God sent his spirit into the world. And the Holy Spirit caused us to realize that we needed to be saved. And then the Holy Spirit caused us to understand that Jesus was our Savior. We didn't just wake up and see the light. The Holy Spirit began to work on our heart. And once we trusted in Jesus' sacrifice, we were forgiven. We were restored back to the Father. And we were declared to be sons of God. God's grace saved us, not self-reliance. But then it doesn't stop there. We must understand that God's power now enables us. God's power enables us to live like sons of God. God's power enables us to live like sons of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives us the power, the ability to be who God says we are. The Holy Spirit gives us power and ability to be who God says we are. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to start at verse 44. Let me give you the context of what is happening in this scripture. Jesus had been crucified and buried, but he rose again from the dead, and he had appeared already to some of his disciples. Now, the disciples, they were perplexed. They were confused. I don't know what in the world is going on. So they assembled themselves together in Jerusalem. And while they were assembled together in Jerusalem, Jesus showed up. He came into their midst, and they were terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus assured them, "I'm not a spirit. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. I have flesh and bones. It is I." And then he says, "Give me something to eat so that I can prove to you that I'm not a ghost, a figment of your imagination." And once Jesus calms them down, he begins to teach them why he had to be crucified, because he had been telling them all up until the cross, I'm going to sacrifice my life. They didn't understand. And so now he's saying, let me explain to you why all of this had to happen. Why did I have to die on the cross? Let's read verse 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." He's speaking of the Old Testament. And he's saying, this is what I've been trying to tell you, that I had to go to the cross to fulfill everything that the Old Testament said about me. Let's continue, verse 45. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So he goes on to further expound on the scripture. This was needful. This needed to happen so that repentance could be preached, so that people would have a way back to the Father. Then he goes on to say, "And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." See, Jesus was going to send the disciples to go into the world to testify of him. And they were seemingly ready to be sent. After all, they had walked with Jesus. They now understood that Jesus was the fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. They were born again. They had received the Holy Spirit. Because in the Gospel of John, John says that during this encounter, Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So it seemed like they were ready for this task. But despite all of that, Jesus revealed, "You're still not ready." He lets them know, "I want you to tarry a little while longer, and I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you, the Holy Ghost, and he is going to endue you with power." That word "endue" means to sink. It means to go in or under. You know, like to go in or under water. It means to sink, to go in or under. It means to put on oneself. It means to be clothed with. And it means to be immersed. To endue means to sink, to go in or under, to put on oneself, to be clothed with, to be immersed in. So Jesus was saying, before you do anything, I'm going to sink you in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to immerse you in his power. I'm going to clothe you with power, strength, ability from on high. In other words, church, they were going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Church, the same power that Jesus promised the apostles is promised to us. The same power that clothed them clothes us. The same power that fell on them is available to us. Because the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which was given to them, is available to us. It's available to every Christian. Because the Bible says that the promise of the Holy Spirit is for as many as the Lord our God shall call. If God called you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available. And it is through the baptism with the Holy Spirit that we can please God, that we can live as we ought, because we are clothed with power. We are immersed in ability, ability that we don't have apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 1. That brings us to our points for tonight. Our points for tonight are 3 questions. So that we can understand that the Holy Spirit empowers us through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So our first question, which is our first point, why do we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, we receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit so that we can have the power to be witnesses. We receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit so that we can have the power to be witnesses. Now, that word "witness" means one who has knowledge of something. One who has knowledge of something. It means one who has knowledge of something and can bring it to light. They can bring it to light. It is someone who can confirm something. A person who can confirm something. That's a generic definition of witness. When you look at the word witness in the Bible, it means someone who announces the truth of the gospel. Someone who announces the truth of the gospel. And it can also mean someone who is a martyr. Because that word "witness" in the Greek is martos, which we translate martyr, someone who suffers death